Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, Link Flores, your host. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you for tuning in. Remember that you can always catch me here either on Audio Boom or on the podcast platform of your choice just by typing in the Wandering One podcast and giving us a look. We really appreciate it. You can also find me personally on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib where I do gaming content and mostly just horsing around with the homies and chilling and playing all the stuff and things. You can also check out streamlabs.com/linkib/merch if you'd like some Wandering One Studios or some LinkIB merch, some designs that I put up there. I think you're going to like it, and I hope that you'll give it a shot. Probably make a cool holiday gift. And here's the other thing. They'll ship it to the person you want if you want. So that's pretty cool. Just a reminder that the Wandering One Studios Patreon is going through some changes. Those should take place in January, so please hold all of your subs before you decide to go and hit up the Patreon. Just wait. I'm going to be making some changes to the cost and also adding some additional content, including some free Patreon episodes for everyone who's following the page. That'll be coming soon. First one should arrive Saturday, where I'll be talking about a gaming supplemental episode, where I'll be talking about the Game Awards. Some recent conventions that I've seen and noticed in video gaming in general, and then some just dishing on certain games that I've seen. Also, I'll have a separate, totally standalone Q&A episode where your questions will be answered by myself. So I hope you guys are interested and I hope you're excited for those because I certainly am. And I want to be able to drop those either Saturday or Sunday. That's kind of what I'm shooting for is my target dates, because I'll have the time to make sure they're recorded and uploaded in time. Let's get right into it. This week's Gridiron Gripes. I told you guys I can't pick a game to save my soul, and I think that I maybe have cursed myself, because I was seriously way off. I don't know what I was thinking, because I was like, you know, I'll give it a shot. Let's see what happens. I went 0 for 3 this week. Good grief. So first of all, the Jacksonville Jaguars lose to the Cleveland Browns. I would say that I was surprised, but I kind of felt like that could go either way. I really was just hoping the Jaguars would pull it out. It seemed really solid. I mean, there could have been some minor improvements on both, you know, the defense and offense. But from what I saw, they were largely well put together. I will say that Trevor Lawrence did look a little gun shy, but he was mostly rock solid. I mean, it was good to see him back on the field. I could tell he was still kind of like favoring his leg a little bit. And you could tell like that kind of thing, just even an injury that's, I mean, I wouldn't say it's minor, but something, you know, it doesn't end you for like a couple of games or put you out for a season. Something like that can really shake your confidence. And he took a hit or two that I was thinking like, I don't know that he didn't see it, but I think maybe what happened is he's still kind of spooked and he's got a little bit of tunnel vision. But all things considered, the Jaguars did, I felt, remarkably well. And I was very proud to watch them go out there and they put it out on the field. It was really cool to watch. Good game, just a bad break. Hopefully it'll get better going into next week. I'm really excited to see what happens. The Steelers lost to the Patriots, and this is another one of those who really believes that these 2-10, you know, 3-9 teams are suddenly coming out and stomping on the biggest, baddest teams in the division, and suddenly they're world beaters when it comes down to taking down a team like the Steelers, which, I mean, maybe not the most stalwart team in the league, but at 7, well, when they're going into this, when they were 7-5, the Patriots were 2-10. I'm sorry, they were 3-9. Like, I just couldn't find a logical reason for it, except for, like, it was just badly scripted football. I don't think the Pats really had that much gas on them, but better luck next time to the Steelers, because that was a really terrible beat. And in my upset of the week, I mean, just to put the nail in my 0-3 coffin, the Chicago Bears beat the Detroit Lions. Like, we are living in the upside down, dude. There's no way. The Bears are 5-8 now, and the Lions were 9-4. So when they started this game, the Bears were 5-7, and the Lions were 9-3. Sorry, my brain just kind of froze there for a second. I can't even feel proud about it because that one's another one. It feels rigged. It feels like somebody was like, we gotta let him at least break even this season, right? Like, come on, we can't have him go out like complete chumps. But it felt like somebody handicapped the game. It's like if you were playing with a bunch of if you're playing basketball in high school, and then suddenly, somebody decided, the shorter people on the team can't dunk, so we're gonna bring the rim down to 8 feet. Like, what? No. It just felt like that, like somebody had done something to tilt the odds in the favor of Chicago. I'm embarrassed for Detroit fans because that had to be awful to watch the Bears come up on you. I'm a Bears fan, and I still feel like that was there's a bunch of chicanery afoot in that one. I call serious bullshit on that win, which, you don't usually hear your fans, go like, yeah, man, they didn't deserve to win that. I don't think they deserve to win the rest of the season. Like, I think that they should continue losing the rest of the season and show like this is what happens when you have a poorly managed and poorly staffed team. Sucks, but that's what I got. Any hoodles. We're going to go for the picks this week. And since I was so terrible at last week, I'm just going to say everybody wins. Steelers, Jaguars, Bears. They're going to win all the way down the board. So the Steelers are going to beat the Raiders. The Jaguars are going to beat the Ravens. And the Bears are going to beat the Browns. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got. Yeah. I'm just as surprised as you guys. If I win at least one of them, it'd be dope, but it would be just my luck that all three of them lose next week. And I'll just be sitting here with a big bowl of egg on my face. But what are you going to do about it, right? It is what it is. So, one of the homies in my Agents of Shadow Discord sent a interesting link to a program that he had discovered. This program essentially uses AI to animate photos using wireframe models to turn a photograph or a drawing into a fully realized and animated character. I kind of got a little peek at it. I wanted to see a little bit more so I could understand how the technology works. But as an artist, I kind of have a problem with AI tools like this. Not that I don't think that there's some merit to the idea, right? I think it could be a helpful tool, possibly for maybe a creator who's trying to build a cinematic, right? You want to show a certain action or a certain sequence of actions, but maybe you don't have physical actors available. Maybe you don't have the skill in animation to draw it all yourself. Maybe you don't know anybody else who does, and you're trying to work out something on a budget. I can see how this tool could be helpful in implementing, making your own animatics or, digitally animated storyboards for stuff. Shit, even a full-fledged, film. I think that for smaller creators, this is a great idea. However, I worry that sometimes this could end up being a replacement for real people. Because the idea is solid, right? The idea has merit on its face. Hey, man, you can't animate. I know I can't. But even if I can draw, I might be able to. I don't have the skills right now to animate something. And I might want to create my own cartoon. This could be very helpful. But the odds are that what will happen is technology like this gets co-opted by a major corporation or a bigger studio. And that's when they start using it to replicate actors, replicate performances. And then eventually they're like, hey, we're so good at doing this. As the state of technology has improved and advanced in deepfake technology and facial mapping, voice mapping, it just worries me that the things that people were worried about during the SAG-AFTRA strike will come true. And I think when people are super excited about certain things, they should really take the Jurassic Park approach. You're so excited to do a thing, you didn't think about whether or not you should. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. And I feel like that might be part of the case with this. Because, we could be looking at another SAG-AFTRA strike, which is terrible news for somebody like myself who's trying to get into voice acting. It just put the kibosh on a significant chunk of the year. And it's considering that, hiring isn't really going so well this year. If you didn't have a job before, you weren't likely to find one this year, which really bites, especially if you're older. I'm not a young person anymore. I'm 45, so this is a lot harder to pull off you know, in later in years, like, you know, if I was 22 or something like that, shit, yeah. And maybe like, yeah, we'll hire some young guy to come and work in our restaurant. You're 45. They're like, you should be managing this restaurant. I'm like, I know, but I had other shit I wanted to do. And it was on a different trajectory than where I landed up right now. I didn't plan for a global pandemic to happen. I thought I had a little bit of time, right? Then time runs out, you know, I'm already behind the eight ball. So I think that, you know, if a strike like this happens for folks like myself who are trying to push into creative fields and whatnot, you know, it would be horrible, but it would be even worse if somebody had a really great idea like this AI animation technology and it ends up getting co-opted and then perverted into something that screws people out of, you know, jobs and opportunities. I can't say that it will happen, but I personally don't care to tempt fate. I don't use AI generators for anything. Those weird little Facebook tests that people do, like, what kind of hot dog are you? Like, I, you know, what month of the year suits you best? Or what's your biker name? I don't click on those things. I try not to feed the algorithm as much information as possible. It's practically impossible to stop unless you just unplug completely. But I try to feed the algorithms and the robots as little information about myself as possible. And it just using AI also, a lot of these times I've seen people use them, like I'm using it to develop a character for, like, you know, a comic book or an illustration, or maybe I just want to create a character. I've seen people use it for D&D campaigns and they can't come up with their own character. They just use an AI generator to create a fantasy character. And to that, I say, I don't like that at all. Because those AI bots aren't drawing anything. They're just sampling a bunch of artwork from across the internet and then using it to create another image. And now it might be fine if you're just a person who is just doing this, you know, on the side or whatever. But even still, by using it as an individual, you feed it more information. You open up the doors for this thing to continue to grow, to continue to pull more resources into its coffers. And you're going to be exposing other artists' work that's out there on the internet, probably on their legitimate personal websites that they're trying to sell their artwork to. And you're just feeding it to a computer who's not going to care that it's somebody else's work. And the companies that make them probably wouldn't give a shit either if they were like, somebody wants to use this image that was generated from your robot to this thing that they're going to make money with and they'll pay you for it. They're like, sure, fuck them. And I think that's a really scary precedent for people to be setting. And it's also a scary thing for people to not realize or to just completely disavow, even though it's literally been plastered across the news for months. And we're back. Sorry, through the magic of the pause button, I have returned. Sorry about that, folks. Any hoodles. I had to run and go check on some blankets for the kittens and make sure that they're all doing well, which the ACE report will come up at the end of the podcast, a little closer towards the end. I know I mentioned in previous podcasts that one of my biggest struggles with living in the city is that people don't know how to drive. And it seems like a lot of people may have listened to that podcast and were determined to prove me right over the last couple of days. Big trucks, BMWs and Mercedes, man. Also, the little imports, I cannot stress to you how incredibly taxing it is to watch these people drive as though they have no concern for the personal safety of anybody in their car or themselves. I get that you don't care about other people. It's quite obvious, and it's evidenced in the way that you drive. How do you not care about your own investment, your own life, and your own family or friends' safety? There's a Ford truck that was heading up in front of me on one of the main roads through the city, and this jackass was swerving in and out of traffic and easily on a 55-mile-an-hour road going 70 miles an hour. He blew past me like I was standing still and was just dodging in and out of traffic. When I finally was able to get close enough to him, because traffic, eventually you're going to hit a red light somewhere, I got close enough to him. There's a young lady sitting in the seat next to him. I wanted to get out and just hit him upside the head and be like, you could put her at serious risk. If that's your sister, you're an asshole. If it's somebody else's sister or daughter, you're a piece of shit. And they should, whoever it is, if that was one of my daughters and I saw this guy driving around like that, I'd pick him up by his throat. That's just insane. Like, you're putting somebody else's life at risk. You don't even give a shit about that. And then on top of that, imagine that he didn't buy that car. I would imagine the younger kids. I'm thinking he's probably in his like early teens, like mostly like not early teens. I mean, like maybe late teens. If he's at the most, maybe early 20s. So more likely than not, your parents bought you that truck. And if I'd seen my kid driving that around, corporal punishment gets reinstated that day. It's like, hey, you're grown enough to drive like this. You're grown enough to get ass whooped because you're not going to put my money at risk. And you're going to get yourself killed and you're going to cost me a truck? Nah, dog. We're going to do one or the other, but we ain't doing both. I think that's really the thing that burns me the most about it is just the absolute. It's one thing to be like wasting somebody else's time or to inconvenience somebody else, but to put somebody else's life at risk and then know that because in so doing you didn't give a shit about your own, it's just selfish and childish and stupid in a way that I can't fully comprehend. More to the point, I hope I never do. I feel like if you're able to understand why, crazy, stupid, mean, evil people, whatever you want to label somebody as, you know what I mean? If you understand those impulses, I think you're one step closer to actually being that. And that bothers me. I mean, I get in almost every day I go out, there's at least one incident where I'm almost getting rear-ended, sideswiped, or getting into a head-on collision with some jackass who's going the wrong way through a parking lot. And it's made me really believe that, no one really wants more government, right? I think that more people like are worried that our government's already a shambles, and the more involved it gets in our day-to-day lives, the worse things tend to be for the regular person, right? However, I do think there are some instances where we need more government or at least more regulation. For example, I think a driver's license test should happen to everyone every 3 years. You should have to pass a written test. And you should have to pass a practical test. They take you out on the road in their little course and watch you drive, and you have to go with the certified inspector with the fucking extra wheel and the brake pedal and all that jazz. Everyone should have to do that. As soon as you get your driver's license, you should be required to do that too. And I think that in so doing, we can also offer an incentive. So it would be like, a state mandatory or federal mandated law that you get a reduction in your insurance premiums by law for passing that driver's test, and for every 3 years you go without any moving violations or accidents. And you get your insurance claims, your insurance premiums reduced by a certain percentage or a certain dollar amount, up to obviously if you're going to pay for insurance, they're going to make you pay something, but up to a certain limit. But then I should also hold the insurance companies liable too. And like, hey, stop nickel and diming people out of this stuff. They paid for their money for this coverage, fork it over. I also hate insurance, but I mean, give us something, right? Give a little, get a little. It's just kind of where I'm coming at it from. And I mean, I think that that's a reasonable request. I mean, we want to regulate guns. We don't regulate driving nearly that stringently. No bump stocks, no high capacity magazines, no automatic weapons. Hey, what about the giant ton and a half box that everybody drives around town willy-nilly? And they only have to take a license test once and then they just get it renewed. You mean just because I got $45, I can get a driver's license again, even though I've had fucking, 4 accidents in the last 10 years? Sure. That just blows my mind. I'm like, that seems wrong, doesn't it? I mean, I can't be the only one who feels like that just seems wrong and weird. And particularly for really young people and much older people, I think it should be a necessary thing to test their aptitude and their ability. Because they're the more vulnerable population, I think it's better to say, hey, we need to make sure that you're on your P's and Q's about this. This is a huge responsibility. You could injure or kill somebody, let alone yourself. We got to make sure you're up to scratch. I think it sounds fair. I'd be down to do it. Then again, these are just my thoughts, and we are wandering around, so this is what it's like in my head. Speaking of wandering around, we're going to wander on over to some gaming content. Now, I know that some of you might be aware, especially the gamer friends out there, that the 2023 Game Awards already went down. I was going to share my thoughts about them sooner, but I'm waiting to compile some more information And I'm going to do a supplemental podcast that I want to drop, as I said at the top of the podcast, sometime between Saturday and Sunday this week. So if you're following the podcast right now, today is December 13th, 2023. Sorry, the episode's late, but we'll be looking at probably a drop date of the 16th or 17th of December. That's when I think you should be able to see this supplemental podcast regarding the Game Awards and more other gaming news just for that. But I had this really interesting phenomenon that I've seen a lot lately. And it's interesting that I'm seeing it from people who are, for lack of a better word, games journalists and critics. You know, and they are, because they don't want to call themselves that, but they are. I've listened to who these people are and how they talk them and how they conduct themselves when they're doing their bits on game journalism or whatever. And they're reviewers, they're critics, and as we should be, you know what I mean? If you care about something, I think you want to see it improve. You want to see it change and grow. And to do reviews and discuss a game in depth and pick it apart, you're a critic, dude. You're a critic. Don't shy away from that. Own it. Be a man about it. Like, you know what I mean? Or a woman, whatever. I don't care, but just own the shit and be honest about what you're doing. Because one of the things I'm hearing is, you know what? You shouldn't criticize game developers. Their jobs are really hard. You know, you don't know what it's like to be a game developer. So how can you make an assessment of the game? How the fuck do you think reviewers exist? How do you have a job? How do you have a platform to talk about video games? If you didn't do what you did, you know what I mean? Your whole occupation wouldn't exist. And then the fact that you built this much of an empire doing exactly what you're telling other people not to do is laughable to me. It's actually laughable. I look right past it and go like, whatever. I can now I know I can discount everything you say because you're not honest. You're not honest with yourself about what you do. You're not honest with your listeners about how you conduct yourselves. And you're a bullshit artist. And I can't respect that. The truth is, you know, people love to shoot down your opinions. If you have a thought about something, you know, any time you have a thought, God forbid you speak it out loud on the internet. Never say anything to anyone ever, but especially online. You can cause a fight just by saying the simplest shit and people lose their minds over it. But here's the thing, man. The reason people do this is because they feel like they want their opinions to get out. The reason I'm doing this podcast is I want my opinions out there. And so if somebody tells me I can't talk about a game developer because I don't know what game development's like, okay, great. I never want to hear you complain about your car. I don't want to hear you complain about food that's cooked at a restaurant that you don't like. I don't want you to complain about your phone. iPhone, Android, I don't even want to hear shit about you talking about your phone doesn't work or it doesn't do this. No. Until you can cook that food better, until you can build that car better, until you can build that cell phone and that cable network better, don't say shit about anything. If you're good with that, then I can do what you're asking me to do. If you're not, shut what I like to call the fuck up. That's a really disingenuous stance to have. Like, you can't talk about something because you're not an expert. Then nobody would talk to anybody about anything ever. That's a stupid idea to have. The problem is that personal biases are the bane of a rational discourse. If you can't manage to set aside the fact that, hey, I want to do this or I feel this certain way about that, but I need to set that aside in the interest of being honest and open and, you know, having a reasonable, rational communication with somebody. If you can't do that, don't speak. Don't. You have to be able to set those things to the side and put them away so that you can function normally and rationally. And I think this thing about criticizing developers shouldn't be as much of a problem as it is, because like I said, if you don't know how to build a car, you know what I mean? You still know when the car isn't doing what car supposed to do. You know what I mean? I don't have to know how to put together a Ford Fiesta, but I know if flames come shooting out of the dashboard when I turn on the CD player, that's a fucking problem. So if I see like, hey, I'm playing this game and this part of the game is fundamentally broken or it doesn't look like it's connected to the rest of the game experience or it's pulling me away from the game experience because it's so glaringly not a cohesive product, I'm allowed to say that. And I should be able to say that. And so should you. If you feel like, hey, this doesn't really fit, this doesn't work, you know what I mean? There's whole bunches of critics out there, right? Some of the most famous critics in the world have built a career on not being able to do the shit that they're talking shit about. This reference might go over the heads of some of the younger listeners, but anybody hear about a duo named Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert? Yeah. Some of the most famous film critics of all time. Name me one film that they produced or directed together. I challenge you to name one film that Roger Ebert and Gene Siskel produced and directed. Case closed. I never want to hear this argument again from people.
You can't critique a developer because you don't know what it takes to make a video game.
Yeah, about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of, ugh. If you don't have any critique, that means there's no feedback going towards the people who are doing the things, which means there's limited to no improvement. Because if they just think everything's hunky-dory, why would they change anything? Use the car example. If I turned on the CD player in my car and it shot fire out of the dashboard and I never said anything about it, just end up getting torched every time I decide to go for a drive, and the makers are like, well, nobody complains about it, so I guess it's fine. You see what I'm saying? That not critiquing a game developer is kind of the same thing. Because they do run tests. They run quality assurance tests. They run alphas. They run betas. They do polls. They take their game to shows so people can display it. They display it and let people play it so that they can get that kind of feedback. And if you're telling me that as not only a consumer, but also as we'll say I'm a games journalist just for the sake of this argument, that I'm not allowed to critique their work because I don't know what it takes, then they should stop making games. And you should stop doing anything. Never talk to anybody ever again. We'll solve the problem like that. No more video games. Then no one has anything to say about it. Cool? No? Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Because it's a stupid idea. It's a dumb idea. The fact that people say it out loud makes me doubt their intelligence entirely. Because I guarantee you, these are the same people that you'll turn around and you'll see say, oh, I went to go to such and such place and I didn't have a good time there. You don't know what it takes to run a fucking restaurant? Do you? You went to Disney World and you didn't enjoy it? You don't know what it takes to run a theme resort? Do you? Then maybe you shouldn't complain about the experience that you had. Huh? Such a stupid idea that some people like really believe that shit too. Like, they're sold. They're like, I could say that. You fucking chucklehead. Makes me fucking irate. And I hate that it makes me so upset. But it's one of those things where it's like, it's a construct of people trying to basically mollify and mollycoddle everyone around them so that everyone will think you're the good guy and you're on the right side of history, when what you really are is a pedantic asshole who's also a hypocrite, because I guarantee you critique something on a regular basis too. So mind your business. If you're not going to mind your business, leave other people at least alone. No, Lord knows they can't, but we'll see. We're going to move on right now and talk about Ace the Cat. So the Ace report for this week, he's alive. He's still alive. For how much longer, I don't know, if he keeps fucking with Kimari. Kimari's my senior cat. She's 10 years old, and she's almost exclusively ever lived alone, well, with me. So she never really had any other kitten friends. She never really had any other companions that she had to deal with. Largely speaking, for most of the last 10 years that I've had her, I've been single up until a certain point, or I didn't live with somebody else. So she never really had much interaction with other people, unless it was like friends come over or whatever. She never really had like a live-in partner that she had to deal with. She never had a child that had to deal with, or another pet. So she's become very standoffish and very territorial. And I'm trying to shake some of that because she's getting old. And the last thing you want to do is watch an old cat die alone. And I'm not thrilled about the idea that one day I'm going to have to put her into the ground. But I was hoping that maybe a young kitten probably keep a little pep in her step, keep her alive a little bit longer, give her something to do so she's not howling, running around the house looking for myself and my wife. And to a large degree, I mean, she's been curious. She's been inquisitive about Ace, but she ain't really friendly. Let's be honest. The other thing is that Ace is still dumb dumb baby cat energy, so he constantly wants to play. And since we don't have another kitten that we can have him bounce that energy off of, he either directs the play energy towards myself and my wife or the senior cat, who's really not having it. I never really wanted to get a kitten without having them in pairs. Technically, if personally speaking and professionally speaking, if you're going to get a kitten, get two. It's a better way for them to engage with one another. They're usually less destructive when they can bounce that energy off of one another. And it also helps curb like biting, hissing, territoriality with like food, you know, toys, even they can get possessive over a person or a place. If they have another, you know, partner to kind of bounce that energy off of, they learn how to socialize a little bit better, a lot better actually. And it's a lot easier to keep them in check and keep them in line and get them to, you know, acclimate themselves to a home environment. So we're trying to work that into Kimari because, you know, she's also been kind of antisocial, but at least she's never really been mean, at least not to Ace. So she just doesn't like him. She's like, I don't want you so close to me. And she'll hiss and she'll growl and he'll look at her and he'll be like, what is your problem, dude? And then because he's a dumb, dumb baby, he jumps away and starts to go play with toys. He's like, whatever, dude. There's plenty of cool stuff in this house. I don't have to worry about you at all. So we're hoping that some of that curiosity that she initially had towards him will start to pick back up. And maybe if he can get his energy to direct a little bit less towards focusing on her and a little bit more towards just enjoying being in the house, then maybe she'll chill out. It's so far not been horrible. Just like I said, the occasional growl, hiss kind of thing. But other than that, she's kind of fucks off into a corner and doesn't bother with him. But he is healthy so far as we could tell. All of his tests came back, you know, in negative for bad stuff. And, you know, he's in the right weight and everything like that. He's about 3.5 pounds. Going to be probably about 4 or 5 pounds come his next vet visit, which is the day after Christmas. So we're really looking forward to that good bill of health. And also we're going to have to be getting him the snip, man, because he's coming up on about 3 to 4 months. Yeah, it's going to be close to, you know, their sexual maturation time. The last thing we need, cats spraying and peeing all over our brand new house. So yeah, little dude's going to get the snip and we're going to see if we can keep working on toy play as opposed to like a lot of people. And it's an instinct that's built into people so deeply that even people who are aware of it are still fall prey to it. A lot of people play with their hands and feet with their animals and then they worry why they're getting scratched and bitten. If you focus your cats towards toy play more, they will be so much less likely to bite, snip, claw at your feet and hands. It's just a given. They'll know that the toys are the things that you play with, not hands and feet. And also, you know, dancing your fingers around on them, in front of them, teasing them with your hands, that kind of shit. Even as a tease, try to avoid that as much as possible around here. I recommend it for you guys as well. Especially if you have little kids in your home, because kids don't know any better. And you run the risk of a kid picking up that behavior and going like, oh, it's fine if I do this. And now you have to clean up blood. You know what I mean? Or in our case, poor Ace, he was just being terrorized and he couldn't do anything except for bite and scratch. So we're having to actually burn out a little bit extra animosity towards people because even as a little baby kitten, you know, it's one thing if he was bitey and scratchy just because he's a baby, but he's bitey and scratchy now because he thinks anybody who touches him is going to hurt him like he was. And it's unfortunate, but it's also part of the game. It's also one of the reasons why it's good to get kittens in pairs, because they help mollify that urge and that, you know, rah, 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 bite, 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 kick, kick, fight, fight. You're like, yeah, you can temper some of that out with a friend. Because once they bite each other hard enough and that meow comes out of them, they're like, okay, that was too much. Gotcha. Maybe we don't bite the toes and we don't bite the tail. Maybe we just don't bite each other. How about that? Let's just not bite each other. That's cool. Gotcha. So it's one of those things we're thinking about. Like, man, shit, I should have probably made sure I had a second one. But I think Kimari would have probably tried to jump through a window if she had to deal with two cats right now. So we're going to just deal with the one for now and let them kind of work it out with each other. Knock on wood, it'll work. Before we get out of here, let's end this on a really cool note. This is an old story, but I think it's really cool to hear this. I didn't hear about this story, and there's not enough good news out there. So I thought maybe I'll just throw a little one of these every now and again into the, you know, just into the podcast for a little bit of a palate cleanser, because this is a really great story. So this story comes from 2018, and this is in Minnesota. 13-year-old kid named Jaquan Faulkner started a little business. He was selling hot dogs in front of his house. $2 hot dogs and $1 for soda and chips. Just a little stand that he built in front of his house. He's trying to raise some money for school clothes and stuff like that, and just going to get a little coin, man. Teaching the kids some entrepreneurship, some responsibility. But he was apparently targeted by another one of these just ain't got shit better to do people. And this is how you know that you're dealing with a weak person. They emailed the complaint to the Minneapolis Department of Health, saying that his license, his sorry, his little hot dog stand was an unlicensed vendor, and that he should be put down. A 13-year-old kid should have their little hot dog stand shut down by some, you know, probably shithead of an adult. I hope whoever this is will hopefully one day hear this and know I think you're a piece of shit and you know what you did. And you owe this young man an apology at the very least. But yeah, so they emailed it. They couldn't even have the stones to walk up to the family and be like, you know, this is in violation of Minneapolis Health Department code, blah, blah, blah. No. Little punk ass went and sent an email. That's such a, that, yeah, I don't like this word, but that's such a bitch ass move. I really wish I could find out who it was, because, you know, that person has whatever they got coming. But the young guy actually talked to CNBC about it and said, they told me somebody complained about my hot dog stand. And there's a stream of kids trying to do this kind of stuff. And we're saying back, it was right before the pandemic, you'd hear these stories about young kids who are trying to, like, you know, make a little bit extra money doing something like a lemonade stand or food stand or, you know, selling cookies. And people are like, oh my God, why are you doing this? Jesus. The Permit Patty chick, that was one of the biggest ones. And she was trying to break down this young black girl who was selling water. Like, come the fuck on, dude. That's so childish. It's not even childish. Even children aren't that shitty. You know what I mean? Like, I take that back, because it's really kind of not fair to kids. Even kids aren't that shitty. Like, a mean kid would probably, like, throw rocks at you or put dirt in your lemonade or something like that. But they wouldn't go tattle. Oh, so and so is selling lemonade. Yeah, dude, come on. You're less socially responsible than a child. Anyway, Dan Huff, who is the environmental health director of the Minneapolis Department of Health at the time. This is 2018, by the way. Said that before responding to the complaint, what we did was put on hold our response until we could figure out how to help him. So what happened is the health inspectors actually went to his house. They taught him about proper food handling techniques, and then they also paid for his short-term food vendor's permit so that he could continue to do this hot dog sales, right? They even donated money and equipment to help him build the food stand up, so he actually had a working business before he was even out of junior high school, which is really impressive. So they've been selling between 150 to 100 to 150 hot dogs per day at the time of this writing. Again, this is back in like August of 2028 when 2028. We're into the future. 2018 when this story was first reported on. So yeah, he was just work on the weekdays, and he would work on the weekends, and just it took off for him, which is really cool that the health department, the people that this little jackass went and tattled to, were like, "Now this is a wonderful moment where we can help a young black man learn about money, learn about entrepreneurship, learn about food service, learn about governmental structures and how these things work." They built goodwill with this person, and I think that that's more of what we need in just the world in general. Just take a little bit more time to, like, do something that's somewhat decent for somebody else. These people went above and beyond. I mean, they paid for his fee, they gave him equipment, they taught him, like, they basically trained him how to pass a health inspection, and then they gave him all the proper tools and stuff to do exactly that. I think that's singularly impressive, because how many government agencies are trying to help anybody ever anyway? You know what I mean? It seems like all you hear is bad stories about government agencies, you know, trying to screw over people, or just the lack of concern or consideration for the citizens. And now to hear this is a real good feel-good story. So if you have any ideas for other feel-good stories like this, maybe something that happened to you, maybe something that happened in your hometown, maybe something that happened on the news that I might have missed, feel free to go ahead and hit me up in a comment. You can usually catch me easiest on Patreon at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Drop me a message there, or you leave a comment on a video or something like that, and I'll be sure to look for them and answer as many of them as I can and read up on as many of them as I can. I think it's a really cool thing to put a little love out there in the universe every now and again. So, and also to end the podcast on a less sour note than you might expect. I'm not a negative person. I just have a lot of crap to say, and just turns out a lot of people sometimes are kind of poopy. Just hecky darn shuck it. I don't know why. All right, that's enough out of me for this week. This episode is super duper late, so it's going to have to go up right now if I ever want anybody to hear it at all, ever. But thank you guys for another episode of the Wandering One podcast. I appreciate you guys for doing all that you've done. Feel free to rate, subscribe, and share the podcast as often as you can, whenever you can, with whomever you can. It really does make a huge difference, and I'm really excited for this upcoming Patreon episode. This one will be free to everyone who's following me on Patreon. So go and check out patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Make sure you comment over there, because the comments and questions that I get on those posts on Patreon, I pull together for the Q&A episodes. So if you want to answer, if you want to have a question answered, if you want to, you know, just share a story or a comment or a theory or whatever, just go ahead and hit the Patreon, say hello, hit me with it, and let's see what we got. Love to put those episodes together for you as fast as possible. So yeah, help me out there. Also, you can check me out on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib, where I do video gaming streaming stuff. Lately, I've been playing the hell out of Baldur's Gate 3 since it was announced to be on Xbox the day of the Game Awards. So a wonderful human being gifted it to myself and the WAF. So since we share games on Xbox, we're able to play it, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. But, you know, I also switch back and forth between first-person shooter content, tactic games content, like I like tactical games, and action-adventure, racing, just the whole gamut, you know, the whole gamut of everything. I try to get a little bit of something every week. But lately, it's been mainly Baldur's Gate 3, because the game is incredible and it deserves all the accolades and praise that it's been getting. I will have more to say about that and the Game Awards and other things gaming related in the supplemental episode, so be sure to check out that. Streamlabs.com/linkib/merch. Get you some cool swag for the holidays there, see? And throw something to like one of your friends or, you know, coworker, or maybe you got something for your sweetheart or your significant other, maybe your mom, your dad, somebody who's into gaming. It'd be cool. And while you're at, let them know about the podcast too. Tell them, hey, you want to check out the podcast too? There's more than just this. So much more. And there's more to come. I'm really excited about it. And I'm really excited for the holidays. I do plan to make sure to keep the episodes flowing, so I might bank a couple of episodes before the holiday so I can take a little bit of time to be with my family and my loved ones. I hope you'll do the same over the next couple of weeks. Be careful. Be safe. You know, don't go crazy out there in those streets. Don't beat up nobody for, you know, holiday deals or whatever. Drive safe. Drive smart. And yeah, just be good to each other, man. Y'all take it easy, and I will see you a little farther on down the road. Have a good one.